Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Adam Torgerson of Budget Management Division, and I'm sitting in today for Cora Parker, who's at DAS's work session, so I'll be very brief and refer any questions to either Legislative Fiscal or Cora. On the second page, what I'm going through is the budget management presentation of the Tourism Commission that should be on top. The second page shows the historical context of the governor's budget. The third page shows that the commission is mostly lottery funded with a nominal amount of federal and other funds. The commission was reduced $291,000 in the first through fifth special sessions. The governor's budget carries forward the special session reductions. The agency has 20% of personal services, 76% services and supplies, and 4% special payments. The legislatively adopted budget in 2001-03 was $6.8 million. The actions through April were 33,000 lottery funds reduction. The only policy package is Package 082, the fifth special session, Section 1 reductions, which is a reduction of $267,030 lottery funds, and it carries forward the specified reductions from the fifth session. And unless there's any questions, I'll excuse myself and let the commission come up and speak.
Very good.
Thank you.
If you saw the little panic here, we opened up to our section, and it was blank.
Mm-hmm. We'll make sure.
So that's why if we weren't listening, we missed it completely. Thanks. That's what goes in there.
No, it was distributed today, so it should be in front of you.
I feel so alone. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Todd Davidson. I have the privilege of serving as the Executive Director of the Oregon Tourism Commission. And to follow the format that has been laid out for the hearings on the Economic and Community Development Department's budget, I would like to begin by introducing the chair and chair-elect of the Oregon Tourism Commission. Will then be followed by invited testimony from some key constituents, and then I will wrap up with any additional details. So at this time, it's my pleasure to turn the microphone over for this public hearing to the chair of the Oregon Tourism Commission, Mr. David Selke.
Thanks. Thank you, Todd, and good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Again, I'm David Selke. I'm the chair of the. I have the pleasure of serving as chair of the Tourism Commission, and I encourage you today to support the governor's requested budget of $6.47 million through lottery dollars to fund our commission's efforts for the next biennium. We have some good news. We have some bad news today. Good news is tourism is one of Oregon's leading industries and economic drivers in the state. It generates over $6 billion annually in terms of economic impact. It generates over 94,000 jobs and over $1.6 billion in payroll annually. Bad news is that since 9/11, along with the economic downturn, we have seen a loss of jobs. Nationally, tourism represents about 6% of the economy in terms of jobs. Since 9/11, there's actually been a 30% reduction in jobs nationally. Here in Oregon alone, we've lost over 1,200 jobs since 9/11. More than ever, we're trying to pay attention to what research is telling us to make sure that we're market-driven. Research is telling us that people are, at the moment, looking more domestically than international for travel. There's more last-minute buying. Women who tend to buy the family vacation trips are more concerned about terrorism than men are. And so one of the things we did after 9/11, an example of being market-driven, is within 60 days we had a tourism recovery program that we implemented. We committed $350,000 in advertising into a program. Wieden & Kennedy, which is a world-class advertising agency, had print and radio copy ready to go. And within 60 days, again, we were implementing that recovery program, which generated over 250,000 additional visitors to the state and over $40 million in economic impact. The Tourism generates over $236 million annually in local and state taxes. It generates, for every dollar we spend, the return on the investment of our industry. We're really proud to talk about this. If you're any private business today, you always focus on return on investment. We're not unlike any private sector industry. For every dollar that we spend as a commission in advertising and marketing, we generate $114 in visitor spend, $29 in payroll, and $5 in local city and state taxes. That's a great return on the investment. The bad news, I'm going from good news and bad news here, the bad news that we're seeing is that research is telling us that as late as 2002, we are seeing a decrease in market share. By that I mean, as we compare ourselves to other states around the country, we're getting less of the visitor spend, and that's because we don't have an adequate funding source, and we need to make sure that we adequately fund our commission's budget. When I joined the commission 10 years ago, in real dollars, we spend more on advertising in 1993 than we are today. So obviously we've got to focus on being competitive, competing with the Washingtons, the Idahos, the Montanas, the other regions of the country for the visitor spend. And for that, I want to ask you for your support of passing the governor's budget. On that note, I would introduce to you Joe D'Alessandro, who is the president and CEO of POVA. He's a fellow commissioner with myself, and he's the chair-elect for the commission as of July of 2003. Thank you.
I'm at the kids' table at this end, so I'll kind of move up to the... Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Joe D'Alessandro, and as David said, I'm the president and CEO of the Portland Oregon Visitor Association and incoming chair of the Oregon Tourism Commission. I'll make my comments brief, but encourage you to, again, support the governor's budget for tourism. There is no question that the economy in Oregon, in all parts of Oregon, is struggling right now, and it's a very difficult time. We know that the Tourism Commission's budget provides a tremendous return on investment. There is not a part of this state, from the smallest town to the largest metropolitan area, that does not receive benefit from this investment. It's one of the opportunities that the state does have to invest not only in the short-term future, but in the long-term economic growth and stability of Oregon. The Tourism Commission's activities does provide an umbrella. It provides an umbrella marketing strategy for all of Oregon that the private sector and the public sector from around the state can participate in and benefit from. It is, again, a proven return on investment. There's research project after research project that really illustrates that and illustrates how effective this program has been over the past. I think we need it now more than ever. We need to provide that economic turnaround. We need to provide that economic stimulation. And we know that investment in tourism, a continued investment in tourism, will not only provide that immediate return, but it will also provide long-term. A couple of points that I want to make. Tourism marketing is not a risk. It is a proven return. It's a proven return on the state's investment. We are, as David said, we are losing market share because of our lack of resources that we've been dedicated to tourism. And that concerns us because other states around us are building and capturing some of our market. We have to stay focused. We have to continue the investment to make sure that the long-term return is there for all of Oregon. So again, I want to encourage your support for this budget. It's a smart budget. It's wise. It's an effective program, and one I think that we can all be proud of as Oregonians.
You know, one thing that if a person has cable or satellite and you're watching these programs, well, I'm telling you, you've seen an onslaught. And I think it's a response to the fact that everyone is saying, well, I'm not traveling to Europe. Maybe I'm mad at the French or whatever. But I'm going to spend my money in the U.S. of A. And these people are aggressive. And whether it's Texas or Florida or Louisiana, you name it, they're out there with their really good ads. And my thought is always you need to understand your competition and better be ready to meet it. And what is your thought relative to that? I mean, do you see a lot of dollars getting spent out there by particularly some states?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes, we do. And that's a concern that we have. The Oregon Tourism Commission's budget is about $3 million a year, and the average state tourism division budget is about $13 million a year. The fact of the matter is it's our competition. And we're out there competing with Idaho, who's got a bigger budget than we do, with Washington, who's got a bigger budget than we do, with California, who's got a bigger budget than we do, with Nevada, that's got a bigger budget than we do, with Montana, that's got a bigger budget than we do. And the fact of the matter is there's a lot of marketing strategies out there, and it's very difficult for us to break through that clutter that you see on television or in publications. That is why it is so critical that we are aggressive out there. And that is why, frankly, we're losing market share because of our limited resources compared to all of our neighbor states, let alone the rest of the world that we're competing with.
Any questions for this room? Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Oh yes, Senator Carter.
In light of a small budget, in light of more people spending their time on domestic travel these days, is there one strategy that you have in place for us in terms of advertisement for this coming year?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Carter, in terms of strategies, one of the things that we should point out is that the Tourism Commission has been very aggressive in building partnerships with both our private sector and other public sector partners. In fact, the Tourism Commission, through the public-private partnership account that was set up under Senate Bill 354 during the 1995 session, has been able to leverage nearly $2 million in cash support for Tourism Commission programs and probably another $2 million in in-kind support. So internationally, you mentioned the domestic, but let me start by touching briefly on international. In the international arena, our strategy is to focus really on targeting the travel trade, the tour operators and travel agents, get them to develop tour products to Oregon. They, in turn, then handle the retail side of it. We may be able to assist them in some of that retail, but then they'll develop the catalogs, they'll develop the advertising programs, they will then market to the consumer and let them know about these new products they have to the American Pacific Northwest or something along those lines. Domestically, with the limited budget, what we have done is stayed with what we know works, and that means with our budget we focus on almost exclusively print advertising. We offer opportunities for our partners to leverage that media buy. They can come in and in a regional cooperative program and put some money into that media buy, and we'll develop an ad that's specific to their region to help leverage that buy. But we'll focus on those publications that we know are both helping us build the brand and the image, the awareness of the state of Oregon, but are generating trips. So strategically, what we do is really scrutinize where every dollar is going in our media buy. We've also moved more dollars and have become much more dependent on our website and the whole way that we deploy information on the internet, and again using partners to help showcase what amenities are available in certain regions. Our partners put suggested itineraries online, and they drive that. We actually have partners that are developing the content for the state tourism website, and they're determining how they want to best showcase their region, what aces they want to play from Joseph to Bandon. You know, they make that determination, and we post that information on our website. So those are just a few of the strategies that we've used to really leverage every dollar that we have available to us.
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, I've in a past life worked in the tourism office in another state, and I'm also currently chair of the National Council of Destination Organizations that we represent about 400 cities and small towns from across the country. I'm very familiar with kind of how this marketing is done on a national level and in a region. I have not seen another state in the union, and I'm saying this with all sincerity, that the private sector and the public sector work as closely with the Tourism Commission as we do here in Oregon. We in Portland count on the Tourism Division to provide that umbrella marketing. Every community in the state does. It influences the way we position Northwest Oregon, for example, whether it's a Lewis and Clark promotion or whatever, because we know that we're only going to be successful at the local level if the state is successful in positioning Oregon and brand Oregon on a national basis. So we count on that, and it's a real encouraging thing to see how well we work together in Oregon and how much the rest of the states envy the partnership that we have developed in this state over the last few years.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was in Aruba last November and saw Oregon in print in one of the magazines while I was there, so you're doing something right. That's pretty bold to be in Aruba.
We market our cold water here.
We want to check to see if that one pays.
I don't know how to follow. Thank you, Chair George. Can you spend a few minutes and give us some details about eligibility requirements and the type of applicants that apply for your cooperative advertising grants and your tourism development grants?
Uh,
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, the criteria are quite straightforward. Our regional cooperative marketing program, the tourism development grants, et cetera, our matching grant program at the Tourism Commission is available to nonprofit, governmental, tribal organizations to assist with either tourism development projects by community or perhaps in a county or by a region. The dollars are not directly granted to private businesses at this time. Instead, we work through nonprofit, Convention and Visitor Bureau, Chambers of Commerce, or governmental organizations, cities and counties, or with tribal organizations.
Quick follow-up. That was very helpful. I'm looking through the budget narrative that's provided by the governor's office. Within the total marketing activities of $13 million, how much of that in the form of grants goes to private industry?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Smith, I believe you may be referring to a budget package that was submitted. There's not actually $13 million in our budget. Our budget's $6 million for the biennium, so I believe you're referring to the program option package originally submitted.
Yeah. May I rephrase my question? Of the option package, right. Of that 13.5, how much of that would go directly to private business in the form of grants or loans?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, if that program option package were actually approved, those administrative rules have not been drafted at this time. So the only administrative rules that currently stand are those related to our existing matching grant program, which restricts us to the nonprofit, governmental, and tribal organizations that I mentioned. So administrative rules could allow those grants to be provided to private businesses, but they have not been drafted yet.
Follow-up. Without truly knowing what is going on with that package, a couple comments I would have. If rules were going to be developed to grant or loan those dollars to private business, I would hope that there would be some form of connection with the small business development centers, and so that a business plan with a very focused approach on how these dollars are going to be maximized and leveraged and targeted, that partnership would be utilized. As a person who's used not these type of dollars, but dollars very similar in other industries, I think the lack of focus and the lack of follow-through is probably the greatest impediment to long-term success, and I think your small business development centers could provide a very valuable partnership.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, thank you. I couldn't agree more. We've had great relationships with the SBDCs in the past, and we look forward to using them into the future as well.
Senator Dukes?
Which budget is your presentation based on?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, we're here this morning based on the governor's recommended lottery-funded budget of $6.47 million. Yes.
Thank you. Oh, can I? If this isn't a fair question, because I'm sure in some flowchart you work for the governor, just say so. But do you have any kind of breakdown between the governor's revised and the co-chairs? And how did you? I don't recall how you fell out in the co-chair's budget.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, in the co-chair's budget, there was reference made to current legislation that I was going to address later, but I'm happy to speak to you now. House Bill 2267, the tourism investment proposal, which was heard last week before the House Revenue
Committee. If that fails, you're funded at 50%. That's right.
Exactly. What they said was if it passed, they believed there should be no lottery. If it failed, that we would be funded at half. If I could, just as a point of clarification, if House Bill 2267 does pass, it would establish a 1% statewide lodging tax. That tax would not begin being collected until January 1 of 2004. It would be collected on a quarterly basis. Department of Revenue would have 30 days in which to then bill the lodging properties around the state and collect those funds. So realistically, if there was no other source of public funding for the Tourism Commission, there would be no money for a tourism program until probably May of 2004. So fundamentally, you would have no tourism program for almost a year.
Well, there's a little problem.
Representative Smith.
That's
what we're here for. Thank you, Chair George. In the past, dollars have been spent on media advertising. How much of that money is spent hiring local firms to do the work versus out-of-state firms?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, we use local firms almost exclusively. When I look at our contract for advertising is Wieden & Kennedy in Portland. For our publications, it's Media America up in Portland. For the Golf Guide, it's TBD Advertising in Bend. When I sit here and think through each of our individual contracts, we're locally owned and operated.
Thank you.
Todd, we're ready to go to invited testimony. If there are any further questions, we'll do that.
Thank you.
If I may, then, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I would like to first introduce to you Carrie Westland. Carrie is the president and CEO of the Convention and Visitors Association of Lane County, Oregon.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today. I am here in support of the governor's recommended budget for the Oregon Tourism Commission. And what I wanted to talk with you about briefly is the relationship between the Oregon Tourism Commission and the Convention and Visitors Bureaus located throughout the state of Oregon, or Chambers of Commerce for those communities who may not have a Convention and Visitors Bureau. We, and I know why I was invited today, because we leverage the Oregon Tourism Commission's program pretty aggressively from our organization. And really, I don't see how our tourism industry and the marketing of destinations throughout Oregon could really work without a healthy Oregon Tourism Commission in place. It's very analogous to private sector corporate marketing, where you have take a Bi-Mart or a Les Schwab or a Pepsi, and you've got corporate image branding emanating out from the center of those corporations, and then you have distribution centers in individual stores or tire shops or retail centers. And it really is quite analogous to that. The Oregon Tourism Commission provides a marketing platform for us to go out and tell our local story. So while the commission works to bring new dollars into the state, it's really our job to get those visitors and their dollars divided up around the state, and we do that by leveraging their programs. They help qualify prospective visitors for us through their advertising programs. Visitors then make inquiry for the state travel guide. We access those names and get those prospective customers our local information on behalf of the local businesses in our community. They go out to trade shows. We put some private money against that, send a representative within the Oregon booth. Portland, Lane County, Eastern Oregon all come together under that Oregon Tourism Commission banner and represent the state to essentially the world, whether it's a domestic show or an international show. We could not do that without the Oregon Tourism Commission. There is no way we could raise the kind of resources it would take to have a booth at some of those world trade shows. Even Portland would be hard-pressed to get a presence on the floor at some of those shows if not for the Oregon Tourism Commission. We see them as critical to that overall fabric of marketing the destination. One particular example that I think is top of mind for everyone right now is international marketing with the new Lufthansa flights coming into Portland. The Oregon Tourism Commission is the lead in a group that we have deemed Oregon Partners, where we come together specifically around international marketing issues, which for sure none of us could begin to approach on our own. We're probably the second largest bureau in the state. Our entire budget's about $1 million a year. They fall off pretty dramatically. After that, you've got Lincoln City and Bend that are in that range, but most communities just don't have the kind of dollars it takes to reach out to the marketplace. Within Oregon Partners, again, we come together, we go to the international shows together, and we get people through Portland and out to the rest of Oregon. We've seen a great deal of interest from German-speaking Europe. We are very excited about the opportunities before us right now. We really need the Oregon Tourism Commission to move forward, to realize after all of these years the returns that we feel we're due with those new flights coming in. In Japan, the Oregon Tourism Commission leads the trade delegations on the tourism side to Japan each year. We've had a lot of success over the years. We have very strong relationships there. We're just waiting for a little airlift to come back in to feed that market demand. And we've heard some noises from the governor's office that he's looking at working with us to try and establish those air contacts. So my message to you is just to fill in from the community side, how critical the Oregon Tourism Commission's marketing platforms are for us. We're an association. We have many private sector members, mostly small to medium-sized businesses. They work to leverage our programs. We work to leverage the Oregon Tourism Commission's program, and you providing us that marketing platform is essential to our efforts. So I hope that you can see your way to support adequate funding for the commission. We'd like to have a lot more than we've got, but we've got to maintain those marketing dollars to the benefit of the state. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it's now my pleasure to introduce to you Keith Levitt with the Port of Portland.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Keith Levitt with the Port of Portland, and just I think to continue on with the we're a key partner with the Tourism Commission. And I think the most recent successes that we've had with Lufthansa that you've heard quite a bit about already, I won't go into that. Whether it's Lufthansa or Mexicana, which is we're going to announce that service here later this week, which is going to provide nonstop service from Portland to Guadalajara, Mexico. The Tourism Commission is a key partner, and I would venture to say that we wouldn't be successful in international air service if it weren't for a strong state, I think marketing platform is a good way to put it, as well as the ability and the talent of the staff at the OTC. There is also a strong connection between tourism, international air service, and the business climate of the state. And I, just to give you a sense for that, the major draw that allowed us to land the Lufthansa flight was the organizing of the business community who desperately wanted to have direct nonstop air access to Europe. We were able to aggregate that business demand and in a very unique, creative way, offer that up. We ended up getting $10 million worth of pre-committed seats for that flight. And whether it's Nike or Adidas or Vocker or a lot of different companies in this state that benefit from having that direct access, they were willing to step up pre-commit dollars, and that was a key marketing tool to Lufthansa. And the key, I think, to sustaining this flight over time is to increase Oregon's visibility in Europe, and you've heard a lot about that. This budget is bare bones, austere. It's not enough, and it doesn't take full advantage of the opportunities that we have. And frankly, that's why we recognize that, and we also recognize that we're not going to be able to have you cut funds in another part of the budget to add more here, and that's why we're on board with House Bill 2267. And we're hopeful that that package becomes reality this session and adds some more funding to this budget, because I think we have an opportunity for short-term returns to the general fund in the biennium that with this particular investment that you don't really see in other economic investments that are frankly more long-term in their return. With that, just would urge you to support this budget, and glad to take any questions if there are any.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it's now my pleasure to introduce you to Cheryl Parker. Cheryl is the executive director of the Oregon Restaurant Education Foundation, represents a key partner for the commission because we want to make sure that not only do folks know that Oregon exists and it's a great place to travel to, but they also are well taken care of while they're here. And so there are some investments that are made in the quality of the customer service and the visitor information that can be provided at the community and at the business level. And the Oregon Restaurant Education Foundation has been a key partner for us in helping us get that message across and these programs implemented. So I will now turn this over to Cheryl.
Thank you, Todd.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for your time and attention this morning. I come to you from the industry side. The Oregon Restaurant Education Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit.
Your name for the record, please.
Yes, Cheryl Parker, Sharyl, seventh generation Oregonian. Sorry, commercial there. We have, over the past 4.5 years, developed education and training, workforce development for Oregon's hospitality industry. And we couldn't do it alone. We're an industry of small business, as I'm sure you're aware, and we count very much on partnerships, strategic partnerships. Some of the things we have done is we have been contracted by the OLCC to provide alcohol server education. We've been contracted by the health division to provide food handler and serve safe training for food safety in the workplace. We also received some grant monies last year from economic development funds to develop a Hispanic workforce program, which our industry really relies on, and we're also moving out to other industries to share that curriculum. One of the things we are extremely proud of is being part of the marketing strategy. You mentioned what are the marketing strategies, and we are very pleased that the commissioners have taken a real wide perspective and long-term view at marketing. It's not just about getting them here, it's about getting them back. And part of that is treating them well while they're here. So a few years ago, the Tourism Commission developed a community-based customer service training and economic development program, which was really designed to help communities identify ways to keep visitors, to attract visitors and keep them in communities. A key part of this was customer service training. So 2 years ago, the Commission came to us as a potential partner and said, can you help us by administering this program and helping us look ahead? We were delighted to do so and are very, very pleased that their commitment to us and partnership with us has allowed us to grow the program. We've been able to write a grant to receive Workforce Investment Act funds through the Governor's Workforce Investment Board here in Oregon. We've been able to leverage that and raise partner funds from industry. And we've been able to start a program that looks ahead over the next year to building a brand new customer service certification program for all frontline workers in Oregon. See, our partners right now, my board, represents different segments of the hospitality industry, everything from restaurants to lodging to resorts to club management, education, contract services. We partner with all these people, including community colleges and SBDCs. So we know what partnership is all about, and I can't think of a better agency to work with than the Tourism Commission, who's been really had a lot of foresight in looking ahead at what could be, taking our limited funds and being able to create the best possible world for those. I really would urge you from the private sector side, from the people I work with all the time, 80% of whom are small business, and we're ducking small business, we couldn't do it without the Tourism Commission. And they're really helpful not only in helping us achieve what our vision is, but expanding that vision to including all the businesses involved and who benefit from this economically and personally. Thank you. And I would be happy to answer any questions. Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, last but certainly not least, for invited testimony, I'd like to ask to come forward Scott West, the Executive Director of the Oregon Lodging Association.
There he is.
I just introduced you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
I'm going to try to bring it back.
I know.
The question is, is he spending money in Oregon?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Scott West. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Lodging Association, and thank you for the opportunity to come here before you today to testify in support of the Oregon Tourism Commission and its budget. On behalf of over 1,000 hotels, motels, recreational vehicle parks, and resorts, bed and breakfast establishments in Oregon, I'm here to, as I said before, testify in support of Tourism Commission. I'm sure you've heard testimony today that illustrates the financial returns and the terrific financial returns that the Tourism Commission has established over its research over the last many years, and the tremendous opportunities before us. And as we've heard, and I'm sure, again, the testimony that you heard about the terrific opportunities and the real promise for Oregon's economic recovery that tourism offers. Just a little bit about the lodging industry, because I think it's important in the context of the discussion today, is that the lodging industry in Oregon is predominantly a small business. The average size of lodging property in the state is 42 rooms. They're independent properties located throughout all of Oregon. And really, this is the very definition of small business. The industry has been significantly impacted since 9/11 and the economic slowdown that we've seen over the last couple of years. In fact, the occupancy rate for February this last year was about, or this year it was about 40% statewide. Occupancy across the state has been about flat, but actually room revenues have been down. So the marketplace has been very tough, you know, in the marketplace for lodging and hospitality in general. I think the relevancy of the market conditions and of today's testimony really is that the Tourism Commission offers an important service for businesses large and small, rural, urban, that depend on tourism or that are impacted by tourism in the state for the livelihoods. And one of the most important opportunities, I think, that the Commission offers the state's tourism industry and its business entities across the state is the opportunity to partner with them. In fact, Oregon Lodging Association, we work really closely with the Oregon Tourism Commission on a number of projects. First of all, many of you have seen this, but it's the Where to Stay in Oregon Guide. Oregon Lodging Association, we produced this in cooperation as a partnership with the Oregon Tourism Commission. 275,000 of these are produced and distributed through the Tourism Commission's distribution channels and also through the Lodging Association's distribution channels. So it's been a terrific vehicle for both opportunities for the Tourism Commission and the lodging industry to partner to create a synergy that independently neither one of us, we believe, could do as good a job as we do through this partnership opportunity. The second thing that we work with the Tourism Commission very closely on is the TravelOregon.com website, and they're actually the website that they drive traffic to. Lodging properties are represented on the site. It's become a terrific vehicle for sending visitors to the site to create vacation opportunities, build trips, find lodging, and find the correct and appropriate resources, you know, across the state. And I'm sure you've heard many of our industry partners from Lane County or the Portland area that are involved and partner with the Tourism Commission with regard to driving traffic through the Tourism Commission to help people make vacation and visiting decisions across the state. In addition, the market research that the Commission does, their work with the travel media and the before-mentioning marketing efforts out in the marketplace, creating a brand presence to bring people here, are significant. They're all significant benefits to the state's travel industry, but most importantly to the state's economy and to the citizens of Oregon. We believe the Tourism Commission does a terrific job for the state's tourism industry, and we would highly hope that you would support the Tourism Commission on the recommended budget, the governor's recommended budget. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Krieger.
Scott, the other day, the Natural Resource Ways and Means, Senator Dukes and I both sit on that. And we heard that 70% of the catchable fish originate from hatcheries in Oregon. $200 million a year comes to Oregon. And I think back what that's done to the coast the last 3 years because of the opportunity. Brookings, right, has doubled the number of people, doubled the income. I mean, when you start doubling something in 1 year because of availability of fish, and, of course, the hatcheries now have been, $5 million has been taken out of the governor's budget for hatcheries, which, of course, I hope we get some of that back. But that's not only out-of-state people, but because of 9/11, a lot of people stayed in state, and so you saw Oregonians that hadn't gone to the coast for years and fished are now going to the coast. How does your industry related. I realize that's a different field, it's natural resource, but yet it's huge what it means to your industry.
Mr. Chair, Representative Krieger, Oregon is blessed in its natural resources, and frankly it is the natural resource that is a big piece of the whole tourism picture. And so I grew up in Coos Bay, and I grew up fishing and clamming and doing all that stuff with my dad since the time I could, you know, barely stand. And I also, my folks still live there, so I have gone down to Coos Bay over the last decade when Charleston was essentially shut down. There was no commercial fishing, there was no charter fishing, there was no fishery, period. Going back down there these summers, it's like days of old with regard to, you know, the port is full, the RV park out there is full, the lodging facilities are full, the restaurants are full, the gift shops are full. It is a significant piece of the of what Oregon is, and I would suggest that all of the natural resource, whether it's the fishery, whether it's the forest products industry, there is an allure to Oregon that is across, besides the scenic vistas, about the unique economic base, about the great natural resource base, about the valley that produces some of the best wines in the world, about, you know, and eastern Oregon that has some of the most interesting vistas in the world. So we absolutely agree, without the strong natural resource-based tourism industry has more challenges.
I was kind of reminded a few years ago within Alaska, and had a chance to talk state fair with one of the Alaskan state senators. And I said to her, I said, what do you think about the Oregon fish policy? And she kind of got a smile on her face and wasn't too sure if she wanted to answer that question or not. And I said, well, what impact do you think it's having on Alaska, because I noticed when I came into the airport that all of the people getting off the airplane were carrying these funny little tubes that obviously had fishing equipment in. And she said, well, all of the people that used to fish in Oregon now come to Alaska, so we really like what you're doing. So it's critical to the fact that if we don't have the fish, if we don't have those resources, there's a lot of people climbing on airplanes going to Alaska. And I'm noticing that their amount that they're spending is $8,261,158, way more than double what we're looking at. So,
Mr. Chair, I spent some time in Alaska working in the tourism industry, and I know that one of Carrie, have you spoken already?
Yeah.
Carrie Westland also spent some time working in the industry in Alaska, and obviously know how important that natural resource base and how important fishing is to that, you know, to their tourism budget and to their tourism industry. But certainly would absolutely concur with Representative Krieger and yourself that the fishery is vital for the tourism industry in Oregon.
Mr. Chair, I might add that we also have had the earliest opening we've had since back in the 70s or 80s, 17th of May. They're up and fishing, and people are coming at least for the weekends when the weather's decent. So extra 2 months means a lot.
We appreciate any good news. All right. Any further questions from Todd or from Scott? If not, we thank you very much. With that, we'll...
Excuse me. Todd, are you going to want to do the...
I can certainly take a few...
He still has not done his program.
Oh, okay. So we won't run through it, and we'll wait for you to run through it.
Sorry.
That's right.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, with total sensitivity to your time schedule, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I was just going to say, Mr. Chair and Todd, if you could try to do this in a very high level.
I will do that, because you've heard a lot about the importance of the tourism industry, how its impacts are felt statewide at every level, the role as an economic catalyst, how we work together with our industry partners, not just in our marketing programs, but to develop our strategic plans and how we want to market, that we do extensive research to make sure that our messages are right on target, that we are generating trips to the state. So at that high level, let me just talk to you a little bit about how, in carrying out its mission, how the Tourism Commission deploys its programs. In the media advertising arena, obviously this is a cornerstone of our marketing activities, where we're promoting Oregon as a premier travel destination. The question was asked earlier by Senator Carter about strategy. Well, the strategy is, with limited dollars, and with no pun intended to our most recent conversation, you fish where the fish are. And right now the fish are close by because we're marketing Oregon to Oregonians. We're marketing Oregon to the Pacific Northwest and to the western United States. We don't do a lot of marketing further afield, although there's interest there. There is some awareness there, but the dollars to adequately penetrate those marketplaces are not there. So we're going to fish where the fish are and use our resources to generate trips where we know that we're able to do that. The publications and website we've already alluded to. The key publication for the Tourism Commission is our Travel Oregon magazine that is now published twice a year. We do a spring, summer, and a fall, winter edition, and we're able to do that because of our partnerships with the industry. By them stepping up and supporting our Travel Oregon magazine with advertising, we've been able to go to twice a year. It used to be that we published the travel guide once a biennium, and in the off year, we put a new cover on it, and we made sure the phone numbers and the facts and figures and dates and things were right. Otherwise, the content was the same primarily for 2 years. Now, in that same time frame, we put in fresh content on 4 different occasions, again, because of the kinds of partnerships that we've been able to develop. Those partnerships have also given rise to other publications, as you heard Mr. West refer to, the Where to Stay in Oregon Guide, the Official Guide to Golf in Oregon, the Official Snow Sports Directory, and the Oregon Outdoor Recreation Guide as well. The PR program we discussed briefly in terms of the kinds of visibility that we're able to achieve there. A lot of people refer to this as free publicity. Well, free ain't free. I mean, you obviously need to have the materials and the staff to reach out to the media, both in broadcast and in print, to be able to convey that awareness of the state of Oregon and to encourage them to write stories about the state, about its amenities, about the attractions throughout Oregon. The International and Domestic Travel Trade Program includes all of our international travel trade marketing and public relations. Our key markets, of course, are Japan, the German-speaking markets of Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, and the United Kingdom. Now with the Lufthansa service, we're also looking at emerging second-tier European countries that have opened up as a result of that new air service. The Commission also is going to need to explore how to support the new nonstop air service on Mexicana Airlines that begins later this week with 3 times a week service to Guadalajara, Mexico, and continuing service on.
Question.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair George. How does that benefit Oregon, the Mexicana Airlines having our folks leave Oregon?
Well, it's Mr. Chairman, Representative Smith, it's not necessarily our folks leaving Oregon. The flight obviously goes both ways. I realize that Oregonians may fly down to Guadalajara, but there's also the interest in the folks in the residents of Mexico in coming to Oregon. There is a large Hispanic population. It is a demographic that has a large propensity to visit friends and relatives, and therefore it's a market for us that's at least worth exploring. In the case of Lufthansa Airlines, we have 247 seats every day going one way. So we've got about 500 seats a day that need to be filled either with Germans coming to Oregon or Oregonians going to Europe.
Question. Has an analysis been done to determine the financial drain that will leave versus the financial gain that will be had through the Mexicana service? And maybe it's positive, I don't know. But has an analysis been done?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Smith, it is not. That's why I mentioned in my comments that we're going to need to explore exactly what level of support we would provide. In the past, when we focused internationally, it's been primarily Canada, Japan, German-speaking markets in the UK. Mexico has fundamentally not always shown up on the radar screen for the Tourism Commission. There's certainly been trade activities, agricultural products, and some other things, but not necessarily as a leisure market. So now for us, it's a new opportunity that we're going to need to step in and explore.